Bibles tonight and go to the book of John, John chapter 4. Aren't you glad that you can come to Christ just as you are, but you never leave the same? That song that we sang, Just As I Am, the Lord does. He'll never turn anybody away that comes to Him in faith, but they always do go away changed. And hopefully you've been changed over the years as Christ has been working in your life. And just thinking even about that song, Just As I Am, it really goes with the message tonight, because there is a man who seeks after Christ because he knows that Jesus is the only help that he has. We saw it this morning with a centurion who sent for Jesus' help and believed that Jesus could heal his servant just by speaking the word. And tonight I want to look at another man in John chapter 4 who also had faith, but I want to look at the fact that Jesus cares. And we will see in the story tonight, in the lesson tonight, that Jesus cares when you're burdened, He cares when you're weak, and He cares when you believe. And we'll see all three of those in the account of the nobleman in John chapter 4. So if you look at verse 45, John chapter 4 and verse 45, the Bible says, "Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Father, again, we thank you for the time we can have together tonight. Thank you for the songs. Thank you, Father, for just changing us from the inside out. The moment we met Jesus Christ and called upon him is the moment the Holy Spirit took up residence in our lives and in every life of a believer. And Lord, you've been doing a good work in us from that moment, and you will continue to work in us, changing us into the image of Christ, helping our faith to grow, helping the fruit of the Spirit to be produced in our heart that will be manifested in our life for others to see. Father, I ask that you would bless our time. Help us, Lord, to learn what we need to learn tonight. Remind us of what we need to remember. Teach us, Father, all things that will be profitable unto us spiritually. Even going into a new week, Father, I pray that you would just guide us according to your will. We would be drawn unto you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, this nobleman who we don't know what his name is, obviously he's heard about Christ, just like the centurion. He knows that Jesus can heal his son, and he personally comes to Jesus and wants Jesus to come and heal his son. Now, again, I'm glad that we know that Jesus cares. He cares about every aspect of our life. You have experienced the care of the Lord in your life. You know He loves you. You know that He sees everything in your life. He sees the trials. He sees the ups, the downs. He even knows the next valley we're going to go through to get to the next mountaintop experience that He will bring us to. There are just great blessings in our life to be had that Jesus wants to show us. And I'm just thankful for this song tonight that we sang. I know normally it's an invitation song, come just as I am. But you know what? As I was sitting there singing, thinking about it, I'm thinking, you know what? That's not just an invitation song. That's a song to even get us prepared for what God's going to speak to us about and just coming to God the way that we are, knowing that He can change us and help us so that when we leave a service, we're leaving change, we're leaving encouraged, we're leaving with something God's given us to help us in our life. It's a wonderful song. I mean, I love the fact that, again, O Lamb of God, just that title, Lamb of God. Remember John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world," the one who specifically came to fulfill the Father's will for you and me so we could have a life of liberty to follow Him, a life where we're not in bondage to sin, though we will war against sin and the temptation will come and we'll have to resist the temptation of sin, but He's given us victory. The fact that you and I have victory. You know what sometimes we forget? Sometimes we do forget that Jesus has all power. Sometimes we forget that Jesus can still heal people from their sicknesses. Don't be fooled by the health and wealth gospel preachers out there. Don't be fooled by the Benny Hinns out there who want to pay people to come on stage, slap them on the forehead. They know how to fall backwards and pretend like, oh, I've been healed. But he never steps foot in a cancer ward in a hospital to heal children. Why is that? Why is it the faith healers do not go into hospitals to heal people? Because they don't have power to heal. I guess like Jesus says, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. Their father is the devil. They're a liar. They can't help. But Jesus can. This nobleman did not go in search of witches or warlocks or anybody. He came in search of the Son of God who loves him, cares for him, and he knows that he can heal his son. A couple things, again, I want us to see tonight is the fact that Jesus cares when you're burdened. He cares when you and I are burdened. Look at verse 46. Verse 46, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee when he made the water wine, or where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. The first thing I want you to think about the location. Sometimes we don't think about the names of the locations that Jesus is at. Everything Jesus did was with a purpose. He did it specifically. It wasn't just, well, you know, today I think I'll go to Cana of Galilee. You know, I've spent some time in Capernaum. I've spent some time in Galilee. So, you know, I think I'll go up to Cana of Galilee. All right. Think about the name Cana. Do you know what the name Cana means? It means reed. Because in that region of the Sea of Galilee, they had the reeds along the riverbanks, along the banks of the sea. I think most everybody in here knows what a reed is. And they would use those reeds for measuring sticks. And you think about the Cana of Galilee, Jesus is in a place where he is going to measure the faith of this nobleman. Again, we talked about that this morning. In every instance in Scripture where Jesus is dealing with somebody, he's dealing with their faith. You remember the Syrophoenician woman that came to Jesus on behalf of her daughter who was possessed with demons, and she came to Jesus because she wanted Jesus to help her daughter who was possessed, and Jesus said, totally forget how he said it. But remember, he basically called her a dog, the Syrophoenician woman. And he said, you know, basically, you know, I came for the Jews, not for anybody else. You know, he's testing her faith. But most people, when you look at that, man, he just called her a dog. He just like insulted her. But she didn't feel insulted because when you read that account, she said, yay, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. I mean, she's not going to give up until she gets what she wants. Jesus kind of does the same thing here with the nobleman, because just jumping ahead real quick, in verse 48, he says, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And yet, in verse 49, it's like the nobleman didn't even hear what Jesus said. Just says, sir, come down ere my child die. I mean, he's not listening. He just, will you please come with me? So many people easily get offended at what they hear, or what they perceive to hear, or what they perceive somebody meant by what they said. Here, this man, he's not even paying attention. The Syrophoenician woman, she had called me a dog. I still need your help because you're the only one that can help me. The Bible does say in Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There are times where the Lord does test our faith to see if we will keep seeking what we need, and we need the Lord's help. But again, in the place of Cana of Galilee, it's in a place where a man's faith is about to be measured. He had a specific need. His son was sick, and he pleaded with Jesus in verse 47. Have you ever been in that place where you pleaded with God on behalf of somebody? Here in verse 47, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now, if I remember correctly, I believe this father had to travel 17 miles to get to where Jesus was. And forgive me, I may be having my accounts mixed up, but I believe in this account, this nobleman had to travel some distance. He heard Jesus had come into Cana of Galilee. You know what? I need to go to him. How close does God need to be for us to reach out to him, for us to go to him? Now, aren't you glad that you don't have to travel 17 miles? Now, tonight you had to travel some distance. Some of us had to travel short distances, some a little longer, to get to church. But aren't you glad that you don't have to travel anywhere to get to God? It's simply, Lord, I'm so glad that you see me. I know you're sitting high and lifted upon your throne, but I'm glad I can come to you and cast my cares upon you. I'm glad I can come and spend some time with you. And I don't have to, you know, travel, you know, 17 miles to take my prayer request to you. I can just lift up my voice to you and pour out my heart to you. And this father comes pleading with Jesus on the behalf of his son. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. In Psalm chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. In Psalm 61, the psalmist said, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Parents in here know what it's like to have a burden for a child. Children don't understand that burden. Sometimes children don't even understand why a parent would be so emotional about what the child is going through when it's the child going through it and not the parent. But as parents, we understand there's a connection, and I know there's a deeper connection between a mother and a child because a mother has bore that child in her womb for 9 months. There's a special connection. I always loved it. When my wife, hey, come here, they're kicking. And I could feel them kicking, you know, put my hand on her stomach and feel the kicking. Some, man, we could just see the footprint kind of, you know, pushing at the stomach going, whoa. They're running out of room in there. And that's the joy a father gets, but it's completely different for a mother. A mother has an emotional bond already because she's had 9 months with that child. And that bond never goes away. I know even if you have a wayward child, that love never fades. You think about the father of the prodigal son. He waited and watched for his son to come back one day. And one day he saw his son come back, saw him over the horizon, saw him coming, and he ran to him because he had been waiting and praying. We know what that's like. We know what it's like as parents to have this burden like this nobleman here about a child. And he goes to the very one that can help, the very one that he believes can heal his son. And he comes and pleads with Jesus to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Again, never stop praying for your children. Never stop praying for your children, no matter how old they get. I forget, but Miss Pat was talking about her son this morning. 67? Your son, right? You're 67? You look good for your age. But I mean, think about it. No matter the age, you still love that child. And they're always a child in your eyes. I know I'm still this little boy in my mama's eyes. That's just the way it is. And, you know, as our kids get older, they understand that. I know Nathan and Crystal will understand that with Joey, that, you know, no matter what age he gets. But what I want us to see tonight is that when our hearts are heavy, there's someone who cares about our burden, and that is Christ. When you look at verses 48 to 50, you see kind of the weakness of this father. He's burdened, he's weak because there's nothing he can do for his son. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. I mean, right after he pleads in verse 47 for Jesus to come and heal his son, again, Jesus says, except you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. Again, testing his faith. Why didn't Jesus just, okay, here, I'm coming. Why didn't he just do what he did with Jairus? Jairus came and said, would you come hear my daughter? And Jesus started walking with them. Now Jesus had to stop because the unnamed woman that had the issue of 12 years, the issue of blood, came and touched the hem of his garments. He had to stop and he had to, you know, talk with her and encourage her in her faith that had made her whole. And while Jesus is talking to her, well, then people come from Jairus' house to tell him, trouble not the master, your daughter's dead. But Jesus went with him without, you know, really, you know, testing his faith. Now, when Jairus heard his daughter had died, knowing the heart is grieved, Jesus says, believe only. Trust me. Let's go to your house. Everything will be okay. But here, he really tests the nobleman's faith by saying, except you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. Does Jesus know everything? Does he know what's in our heart? Does he know our thoughts? Absolutely. You see that in Scripture. I kind of touched on that this morning, how I'm baffled at the scribes, the Pharisees, and even those that would invite Jesus into their home, and he would tell them their thoughts as they were having them, and they were like, didn't get it, didn't understand it. Wait a minute, someone knows my thoughts? Someone sitting in front of me knows exactly word for word what I'm saying, knows what's in my heart? Yes, Jesus knows what's in our heart, but he still says what he says to this father, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And yet, when you look at verse 49, because the father can do nothing in his own power to help his son, he doesn't even hear what Jesus says and just says, sir, come down ere my child die. Again, I see another man who has great faith. He's not going to let anything detour him from getting the help he needs for his son. Sometimes I know that we as people, and I'm not specifically saying you, but just people in general, if they do not get what they want from God the moment they ask for it, or they feel offended by something the Bible says, they walk away. And they will say, well, I tried it, didn't I sought God, but he didn't answer me. Because God knows who truly wants him and needs him and who just wants a quick fix in their life. But again, like the widow woman who came to an earthly judge, petitioning the earthly judge to avenge her, and kept pestering the earthly judge, because the earthly judge finally said, you know what? And she is going to weary me with his continual coming. I'll just do what she wants. And Jesus says, that's the way we're supposed to be with God. Keep asking. And you know what? There may be times where the Lord kind of ignores you, ignores me, to see how we're going to respond to it. He might ignore us in our finances, where we're praying for help in our finances, praying help in our job, things that we need help with, just to see, are we serious about it? Because sometimes people will say, I'll do this if you do that. Lord, if you help me, I will increase my prayer life. Lord, if you help me, I will increase my giving. I had a couple of people, but I had one person one time who was trying to get a big job. And the job he had paid pretty good. He was an airline pilot. And he wanted to get another position at a different airline company. And I just remember one time, and the Lord knows his heart, but using it as an example, he was talking to me and talking about, you know, possibly getting this other job. And just, you know what? I mean, God knows if I get this, I can give more. I can tithe more. That should never be why we're wanting a different job. Tithing more is good. But usually when someone says, if God gives me this, I'll do this, they typically don't do what they say they're going to do. They just want God to give them what they want. And they forget, wait a minute, God's not a man. You can fool me by saying you're going to give more, but God knows if you will or not. And again, I don't know what his tithes were or offering. And he actually got the job. But I'm saying we have to be careful when we say, God, if you do this, I'll do that. Because sometimes we do that with people. You know what? I'll do this. I'll give you this if you'll do this for me. And then when the person does it, some people will renege on what they said. Well, you know, I was just kidding. Or, you know, I really didn't think you would. And, well, I don't have it, so I'll give it to you later. And then they never give it to you. I'm saying as Jesus is testing his faith, and he's not going to give up. When was the last time you gave up on God? And just think about that. When was the last time you gave up on God? And you didn't get what you were seeking God for because you didn't stick around to see if he would actually do it. Here, the nobleman, the father, he ignores what Jesus, I mean, to me in the scripture, it looks like he totally ignores what Jesus says. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. He's not talking to the crowd. He's talking to the Father. And the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. His faith is tested by Jesus, and the nobleman ends up trusting the words of Christ because he refused to be offended or even to be pushed away by the words Jesus said to test his faith. Because in verse 50, Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Sir, come down, ere my child die. Go thy way, thy son liveth. He got what his heart's desire wanted, his son to be healed. He did not allow himself to be pushed away. He did not allow himself to be offended. He trust that Jesus could help, and he wasn't going to let anything stand in the way of Jesus helping his son. And he heard those wonderful words, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. When was the last time we did not believe what God said? Tonight, I want us to be reminded there are no new revelations. Many people think they get new revelations from God. Oh, I even had somebody one time. Wait, hold on. God's talking to me. All right, go ahead. What is that? And they didn't even proceed to say what God told them, and it didn't match up with Scripture. God doesn't give any new revelations. God speaks to us, but what he says always matches up with Scripture. You know why people are into new revelations? And they're into new age, modern worship and all that? Because they want something that feels good. They want to feel important. Every child of God's important. I don't need a new revelation to know that God's speaking to me. Again, God's given us his word. And throughout Scripture, God speaks to us. Again, I would love to audibly hear the voice of God, but at the same time, I might be scared to death. Because as Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai with God, and when he came down, man, the people, they were scared. They were scared at his countenance. They were scared at the mountain shaking and the fire that was on top of the mountain. I mean, they were scared of God. It'd be an awesome thing because, I mean, you read Scripture, I mean, the Bible talks about his voice being like, his voice is on the waters. And when we go to the mountains of Tennessee and we're driving through the mountains and we'll stop and, you know, you got the creek running by and just listen to the water. It just sounds so wonderful. And my wife always brings up the verse that talks about his voice is on the water. But same time, the Bible does talk about his voice is like a trumpet. And John, in the book of Revelation, he heard thunders, and he was about to write, and God said, don't write that. But you know what? More than wanting to physically hear God's audible voice, I'd much rather feel his presence in my life and know that, you know what, I can go to him on behalf of somebody else, or even on my own need, and have the faith that his will be done, that he will hear me and answer me. When you look at this nobleman, he wasn't about to leave Christ until he got what he needed, and he needed his son to be healed, and he knew Jesus was the only one that can do it. Now, when you look in this account, basically, it happened like that. He came to Jesus, had a quick conversation with Jesus, and Jesus said, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now, you know, I say quick conversation. I mean, how long was the conversation? You know, whether there's some pause in there. Know what else is going on at the moment? But when you look at it, it seems like it's quick because when you read Scripture, we put it all together. It's like, man, he just got what he wanted just like that. But it seems like, you know, I've been praying for a long time about God helping me with something. It just isn't coming. And the devil so badly wants us to believe that God's not listening, God doesn't care about the burden that we're carrying, doesn't care about our weakness, but he does care. He cares so much that he wants us to keep coming to him, wants us to keep coming to him and keep seeking him and keep trusting him and keep believing that he has the answer. He has all power, and I know that he will respond in the right moment at the right time according to his will, and I fully trust it. All throughout Scripture, I mean, just thinking about Hannah again. She poured out her heart to the Lord, and the Lord didn't put a baby in her womb right then. But according to Scripture, when she got back home, the Bible says she conceived. And then 9 months later, she's holding Samuel. Sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes we have to wait for the answer. The problem is, though, we live in a quick fix society where, you know what? I can go to an oil change place, within 10 minutes, get my oil change. I can go to a restaurant, go through the drive-thru, a couple minutes, got my food. Why doesn't God do that? Why doesn't God have a drive-thru? I can go through, order something on the menu. Okay, I need that. Go to the window and, okay, Lord, give it to me and on my way. Because where's the faith in that? Now, I understand when you go to the restaurant, you're having faith that the person has washed their hands, they've cooked the food properly, and everything's good. But that's not the mentality we can have with God. This Father had a burden that only Jesus could take care of. And he really casts the burden on the Lord and says, come down ere my child die. You want to talk about having some responsibility. Wait, it's up to me. Otherwise your child's going to die. And the Lord's, he's fine with that. Cast that care upon me. Because you know what? It's not a burden you and I can carry. There are burdens in life that we're not meant to carry. We're meant to cast at the feet of Jesus. In verse 50 again, Jesus said, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. He went his way, not doubting. You know what? Jesus does care when you do believe, because our faith affects other people. Our faith affects other people. Look at verse 51. Verse 50, he goes his way. He's going home. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. It's not a shock and surprise to him. But he still wants to know. In verse 52, then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. Now, it's not until the next day that he finds out that his son is truly alive. But he's left Christ. He went to Jesus, he heard what he wanted, your son lives. And he fully trusted without Jesus coming and touching his son or saying anything over the son's body, his son would be alive when he got back home. His son would not die. And to prove it here, these men come and they tell him the seventh hour yesterday at the seventh hour. The father, yep, that's the same time, the same hour that I asked Jesus, and it was done. No surprise. But notice the rest of verse 53. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and he himself believed. He was excited again. He believed even more. Wow, I believed it was done, but man, that was quick. I mean, I didn't have to get home and just pray over him. I mean, it was done. It was done and the Father wasn't even there. Do you realize God works without us realizing it? That when we pray about something, he's already working on it. And just because we don't see the end result or we haven't heard, you know, it's done. Because sometimes we think God's not moving fast enough. And God knows exactly how to work all circumstances out in our life. He knows what needs to be done in our life. Think about when you got saved. I can remember when I first got saved and asked God into my life. Without going into detail and stuff, I still had some sin in my life. I still had things that I had to get out of my system. Smoking, occasional drinking, things like that, cussing. Every other word was a cuss word. And he slowly worked on me. He helped me overcome those things. But if you would have looked at me the day after I got saved, you would have said, he didn't get saved. He still smokes. He still cusses. Because in a human's mind, we think, well, if they're changed, and they're changed instantly, and they're perfect. But as the Lord works on us, he works on the inside. And what I'm saying is, your prayers are heard. And God works in our prayers. Just because we don't see something happening in somebody's life, and I know that there are people that you're praying for to get saved, turn their life around, come back to the Lord, things like that, and maybe on the outside you're not seeing it, but God's working on the inside. He does his work on the inside. And as the Father believed what Jesus said, yet he had not seen it yet, he had not gotten home yet, and when he was getting close to his home, these men come and say, your son lives. And because he heard that thy son is alive, and it was the same hour yesterday when Jesus spoke to you that the son started amending, getting better, he believed. He already believed, but now he really believes because, wow, my faith has become sight now. I walked by faith going to Jesus, and now I see what Jesus has done in my son's life, and he believes. And look at the last four words. And his whole house himself believed. And his whole house, his faith affected everybody else. Our faith affects other people. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, Jesus said, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Who do we pray to? The very one who died on the cross for us, was in that tomb for 3 days and arose. The very one who has power over death and hell. He has the keys of death and hell in his hand. The one in Matthew 28, he says, all power is given unto me. The very one that intercedes on our behalf, the very one that still works miracles. Again, do we need to see a miracle like Jesus performed here in order for us to believe that he can help me? If you were to go and look in a mirror right now, including me, we would be staring at miracles. If you were to look in a mirror right now, you'd be staring at a miracle because you are a miracle. He's changed your life. He's given you the gift of salvation. He's never left you nor forsaken you. He hears every prayer that you utter. He has seen every heartache that you have had and I have had. and he cares about the burdens that we have. That's why he says, cast all your care upon me. That's why he says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, so that we will have rest in our soul. But a whole family is transformed because of a father's faith. And then the faith of the father is seen in the healing of his son. And there's three things I want us to get out of this account tonight. And that is, Romans 8:28 is true. Sickness or deep affliction is often the means of great good. Sickness and deep affliction is often the means of great good. Because Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Not everybody gets saved the same way. Some kids have the privilege of growing up in a Christian home and coming to know Christ as their Savior. And some would still, you know, wander away and live in the world for a while, prodigal son. But there's some that are raised in homes where, you know what, it's godless. Absolutely no mention of God, no mention of Christ, no mention of the Bible and the promises of God's Word. But again, it's still true that everything works together for good in our life. It worked for good in the father's life because as his son is lying sick, he had to go to Jesus on behalf of his son and hope and pray and believe that Jesus would answer his request. So we learn that, you know what, when there is a bad situation, when there is a burden in our life, good can come out of it. But we have to take that burden to the one who can take care of it. The second thing I want us to think about that we can learn out of this account with the nobleman is the fact that wise people seek the help of Christ. Wise people, and let me even say wise Christians. Wise Christians seek the help of Christ. Psalm 118, verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Wise Christians seek the help of Christ. And the third thing that we can learn from this account is the fact that wise Christians trust in the Word of God. They trust in the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 4 says, hear ye children the instructions of a father and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Wise Christians trust in God's word. This man trusted without seeing his son recovering from his illness. He trusted what Jesus said. He came to Jesus, wanted Jesus to come with him. Sir, come down. Come with me, or else my son's going to die. And Jesus says, go your way. Thy son liveth. That's all he needed to hear. You know, all we need to hear are the promises of God's word to remind us, hey, everything's okay. When you and I feel burdened, open up God's word and read. And someone says, okay, well, where? There's been times where I've wanted to, where can I read in Scripture to get the answer to my burden? And I always hear the same answer every time. Just open it up. And you know what? I've you ever done that? Kind of just, okay. And just start reading. And then you're like, what? Because when it starts naming a bunch of names you can't pronounce, because you're in a section where the whole chapter is nothing but names, but you know what that reminds me of when that happens? My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He knows my name. And if my name's written down, That means I'm a child of the King. That means I have the privilege to go into the throne room of grace, to go before the throne of grace in time of need and help and ask for the help that I need. That's what His Word does. His Word reminds us of that.